One thing I wanted, praying medic, first met him, I didn't know what his name was. Nobody knew what his name was because he was anonymous. And so anyhow, it's been a pleasure to be his friend. And I know last year we had a meeting and we just blew it out. We had a third of this, and we had to get a bunch of chairs in. So anyhow, we stepped out by faith and rented the whole thing, which is a little scary, for a ministry like ours, a volunteer ministry. But anyhow, we're glad that the Holy Spirit has brought each person here. And but anyhow, one of our he's spoken at Denny's and different places where we met. But I've noticed that, one of the books, How to See in the Spirit, I read that, and then all of a sudden, my eyes were open to a number of things. He has an anointing to make it simple enough to where you can get it. So whether it's healing, this book, he's going to talk about today is The Power and Authority, which a lot of us have studied the authority of the believer. And some of you may think, well, I know it all. I read Kenneth Hagin's book and, different people's book. But, I've been reading his book, and it's got some real specific techniques that, when you start praying for people. I remember 42 years ago in Enid, Oklahoma, I got elected president of the chapter there. And we had somebody call us and say, we need you to pray. And this lady was dying of something. And I'm like, me pray? I mean, I don't know how to pray for somebody dying. But, you have to learn. You got to be prepared. And so, he has some very good material that will prepare you to minister. We're all kings, king priests, which means I'm a mortgage banker. That's my day job. But I'm also a man of God, woman of God, and I minister, as the Holy Spirit leads in the marketplace. My church, this is not a church, it's a fellowship. So we don't have to, get out of here and, in 30 minutes, or, we don't have to follow. We just let the Holy Spirit lead. But anyhow, I want to introduce Dave Hayes, the praying medic. Come on down, Dave.
Thanks, Tim. Can y'all see me? Would it be better if I got up on this thing? All right. Sit tight. A couple of little preparatory things I got to take care of. A little bit of homework. So, by way of introduction, hey, thank you all for showing up, coming out. Like Tim said, video guy, are you okay? We good? All right. Tim was asking me how many people I think are going to show up. I'm like, I don't know. If you want to know how many people are going to show up, put out a registration and make everybody sign it so we know. We had no idea if there was going to be 10 people here or, 100. So we are very grateful that you're all here. If you need prayer for healing, I will stay here until you get prayer. I'm here all day. If they kick us out of here, we'll go out in the hallway and we'll do healing prayer out there. I know that a lot of people came here to be prayed for. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. If you need a prophetic word, where's Lila? There she is. The blonde lady over there. If you need a word, go talk to her. She'll prophesy over you. All right, so I am indeed a praying medic, and I'm an author, former paramedic, former atheist. I was an atheist until I was 38 years old. I wasn't just an atheist, I was a hardcore Darwinist, and I mocked and ridiculed Christians. They were my favorite target to mock and make fun of. God has a funny sense of humor. One day I was at the fire station, minding my own business, reading a book called Left Behind. And the next day I was out preaching Jesus to everybody who would listen to me. That is a true story. I had a literal overnight conversion from being a hardcore atheist one day to being on fire talking about Jesus the very next day. It was like night and day. In 2008, there I was minding my own business, doing my ambulance calls. God gives me a dream, shows up in the dream and says, I'm going to show you what's wrong with your patients. I want you to pray for them, and when you do, I will heal them. Now, I had been a believer for 8 years at this point. I got saved in 2000, and that was in 2008. I've been attending a non-denominational church that did not believe in healing and miracles. Therefore, I didn't believe in healing and miracles. When God said, I want you to pray for your patients, and he's going to heal them. It's like, okay, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Because I don't believe, because they were telling me that this stuff stopped 2,000 years ago. So I had to wrap my mind around the idea that God is actually still healing people. And boy, is he healing people. If you are following my Telegram channel, you know the testimonies that people are sending in every day of getting healed. Here is the kicker. All right, I am not the anointed man on the platform who is the only one who's able to get people healed. I am intentionally posting other people's testimonies because I want, my message is, you can do this. We get testimonies all the time from people who have never prayed for any miracles, they've never seen anything happen, you know, supernatural, and they read a couple of testimonies. They step out in faith. They pray for their broken washing machine and it gets repaired. They command the storm to stop and it dissipates. They command their dog to be healed. We had one gal who had never seen much of anything happening, miraculous, but her cat had cancer. The cat had a tumor growing out of its ear. Yeah. She said you could look in the ear and it was like bunches of grapes growing out of the ear. Okay? She, after reading a couple of testimonies on my Telegram channel, she said, little kitty, I'm not a miracle worker, but I know Jesus loves you and he's going to heal you. She woke up the next day, went to her cat, and the tumor had fallen out of the cat's ear. All it takes is a little bit of faith. And yes, God heals animals. Holy cats. When I get it. That's a joke. You like that? When I started doing, when I, you know, for years I was just doing primarily news and current events, the Q stuff. Y'all, a lot of you know about that. November of, let's see, 2021, Lord gave me a couple of dreams and said, I want you to go back and start teaching on healing, miracles, and deliverance. And I was like, again? And he said, you have a whole new audience and they don't know anything about this, so start teaching. So I did. And when I started doing this, doing it, you know, coming back and just digging over my old material, I had heard of a few people praying for a few animals, getting them healed. But in the last year and a half, we have posted so many testimonies from people who have prayed for their cats, horses, dogs, dead birds, and they've seen them healed. I was shocked. I really didn't know how much God was into healing animals. So if you have animals or know someone who has animals, the same miracle-working power of God that we can release is for, it works for animals too. And the process is exactly the same. You don't have to do anything different. Same thing. All right, so I'm going to talk today about the tools that God has given us for the miraculous. The tools. God's given us a lot of tools. And the first one that I'm going to talk about, does anybody want a book on emotional healing? That one right there. Come on up here and get it.
Thank you.
All right. I'm working on a few more books. There's going to be a book, a full-length book on emotional healing and deliverance coming out in a month or two. I just finished a manuscript. My niece and I were editing it. The editing is done. It's going to be formatted. She has asked me, so why do you put emotional healing in like every book that you write? And I said, because it's that important. And she said, but it doesn't flow with everything else in the book. And I said, well, then we'll just make it flow. It has to stay in the book. Emotional healing is the key to healing. And we have a lot of people saying, it's true, it's right, amen, brother. If you have a simple thing like a torn rotator cuff in your shoulder, you probably don't need emotional healing. Someone can release power, exercise authority, command that rotator cuff to be healed, and it'll probably be healed. But if it's not, what do you do then? It's not difficult to release power and exercise authority for healing. I'm going to teach you how to do that. And a lot of you already know how to do that. But the question then is, what happens if it doesn't work? What happens if I've been received prayer 100 times and my rotator cuff is still not healed? What I ask the person is, have you tried emotional healing? And they're like, what's that? I explain the process, they go through emotional healing, pray one more time, boom, the rotator cuff is healed. Emotional healing is an important key to physical healing, and it makes deliverance a lot easier. I don't do a lot of deliverance. I don't sit there and watch people throw up and manifest demons and spit and curse all day long. You don't have to do that if you do the emotional healing first. Because what I have found out is a lot of people who have afflictions, sometimes things like chronic back pain, migraine headaches, irritable bowel, a lot of autoimmune conditions are actually related to emotional trauma. And what I have found is, if I take these people through the emotional healing, we can deal with the wounds in the soul that are caused by trauma. And it is the wounds in the soul that provide homes for evil spirits that cause sickness. The reason why a simple exercise of authority or the release of power doesn't work always for what looks like a physiological injury is because demons can manifest the exact same symptoms of a physical injury and you have no physical injury. So I prayed with a woman a few years ago. She had chronic neck pain, neck and back pain. She thought it was from being in car accidents. She'd been in 4 car accidents. She thought she had some kind of whiplash injury. But all of her tests, all of her x-rays, CAT scans, everything was normal. Okay? She didn't have any physiological injury. She had emotional wounds from her childhood. Took her through emotional healing. She had been abused by her father, abused by her 2 ex-husbands. We took her through the emotional healing from the father and the 2 ex-husbands, prayed for her back to be healed. All the symptoms are gone and has not returned. Okay. This woman was a This woman was an acquaintance of mine, and her mother was a friend on Facebook. This is years ago. And it's interesting how we met and how we got her healed. But this is when I was fairly new to the whole emotional healing thing. And that made me a big believer that there's power in emotional healing. So I'm just going to say, if you have some chronic illness, pain, issue that, and you've received prayer for it and it hasn't budged, go through the emotional healing. Bring up the issues from your past, childhood, divorce, death of a parent, death of a spouse, loss of a job, whatever the issues are that are bothering you. And a lot of times you don't even think about them. It might be something you've completely forgotten about for 20 years. It can still be there and it can be rooted in an emotional wound that has a spirit, a demon that's attached to it, that is keeping you in some kind of sickness. So, in addition to everything else I'm going to talk about today, emotional healing is incredibly important. And if you're at your wit's end, you don't know where to go, and you're just tired of being, you know, sick and tired, try emotional healing. And realize that it's a process. The entire healing thing, it's all a process. You have to submit yourself to the process. God has a specific plan of healing for every person out there. Each of us have issues, and our issues require a specific plan. And we have to be able to understand what is that plan. And God will reveal that to you. He'll reveal his plan to you. Does anyone want this? Power story? Over there. Catch. Two? I've only got one. Sorry. I only brought one with me. All right. So, how does God reveal his plan? Yep, it's yours. How does God reveal his plan? God can reveal his plan for your healing through prophetic revelation. God's not dead. He's very much alive. He talks to us. If you're not saved, you don't know the Holy Spirit, he speaks to you through your conscience. He convicts you of sin. If you're spirit-filled, he's going to speak to you through visions, still small voice, dreams, and he will show you what is wrong, and he'll show you how to fix it. All right? So I gave her the book, Dream Interpretation Made Simple. I love dreams. I know not everybody has dreams, but you could. You could have dreams. Just ask God for dreams. Just let him have access to your mind in the evenings and say, Lord, I want to receive your dreams. He'll give you dreams. He'll give you visions. He'll give you angelic visitations. He will sometimes show up in person. I've had a couple of those. Those are fun. The Lord will show up in person and he'll show you things. But when it comes to the issues of like power and authority, the Lord will show you specific things. I had a dream years ago where I saw the Lord show up as the commander of the hosts of heaven. He was the commander of the Lord's army. Like, so if you read like back in the Old Testament where Joshua met the commander of the Lord's army and Joshua said, are you for us or against us? And he said, no. But I'm the commander of the Lord's army. Are you on my side? That's the question. So in this dream, I saw the commander of the Lord's army and he was going about inspecting his troops, which were leaders in the body of Christ. He was inspecting his troops, and he was pissed off. He was not happy. He was not happy because people were teaching things they were not authorized to teach. And with the Lord's authorization to teach on a message comes the revelation about that issue. And when I had that dream, I was like, holy moly, I guess I better stay in my lane. Right. That dream was the first dream I had that really addressed the issue of authority. The Lord authorizes us to do things. And he doesn't authorize us to do other things. A lot of people on social media over the last 3 years have been talking about COVID and vaccines and vaccine injuries and other issues like that. I'm a paramedic. I did critical care medicine. I know quite a bit about sickness and a little bit about vaccines, but I do not talk on that issue at all because I'm not authorized to talk about it. God has given me no revelation about vaccines or COVID, so I don't talk about it. Other people have revelation from God. Other people are authorized to speak on that subject. I'm not, so I don't talk about it. That is a very, very difficult thing to wrap your mind around. The idea that you could talk about anything, you could teach on anything you want. The question is, are you authorized to talk about it? That's why I try very hard to stay in my lane and talk about the things that God has authorized me to talk about. So we're getting into the issue of authority. What is authority? What is the authority that God gives us? God has given me hundreds of dreams about the subject of Q, the 17th letter of the alphabet. All right? So I put out 250 videos on the subject of Q because God would give me one dream after another, after another, after another, after another about Q. And that all started with a dream where Mr. Miyagi showed up. And if you know about Andrew Whalen and his Mr. Miyagi dreams, you know what I'm talking about. All right? God has authorized me to talk about Q. So in obedience, I looked into Q and I started talking about it and did some teaching on that. And God blessed what I did because he had authorized it and because I was obedient and I tried to honor his will, his desire. There are people who talk about Q who are not authorized. Guess what happens to when people listen to them? They get confused. They're not sure what's going on. They don't have God's anointing. They don't have God's wisdom. They don't have God's revelation. They just talk about something they want to talk about, and they don't really understand it well. It doesn't bear good fruit. If you follow what God has authorized you to do, it'll bear fruit. All right. So God has authorized me to talk about healing, miracles, physical healing, emotional healing, deliverance, seeing in the Spirit, traveling in the Spirit. Those are the issues I talk about because God has given me revelation and he's given me experiences with those. So that's my lane. Those are the issues that I talk about. Speaking of traveling in the Spirit, come on. This is a CD, Traveling in the Spirit. It's Keys to Traveling in the Spirit. All right. Somebody else had their hand up over here. You, sir, come on over here. You get the book. Traveling in the Spirit Made Simple. What the heck does that have to do with anything? Well, it's not astral projection. All right. So if you remember in the book of Acts, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was in a chariot, and he was reading the scriptures. And the Lord told one of his friends, said, hey, Philip, go follow that guy. Catch up to the chariot. He needs your help. Philip goes over there, talks to the Ethiopian eunuch, explains who the Messiah is from the passage. The Ethiopian eunuch says, "Hey, can I be baptized?" He says, "Yeah, let's do it." Stop the chariot, get down in the ditch, in the water, baptizes him. And it says that Philip was taken up by the Spirit, carried to Azotus, where a revival was going on. Ezekiel traveled in the Spirit. He was taken. Lord picked him up, moved him to the river of Chebar. Many of the Old Testament prophets traveled in the Spirit. I received a testimony on Tuesday from a friend who lives in France. And she said, "So I had a dream last night, and you showed up. And you were going somewhere, and I kept following you, and you went to this bus station, and you got on a train or a bus, and I got on with you. We started talking, and then you put your hand on the middle of my back, and I felt a pop in my back. And then you put your hand up on my neck, and I felt a pop in my neck. And then her lower back, she felt a pop." In the dream, when she woke up, she realized she'd been healed of a misaligned spine. And I traveled there, apparently in a dream, and prayed for her to be healed. That same night, I traveled somewhere else. That day, I had received an email from a woman whose husband had a drop foot from nerve palsy. So he had a drop foot, sort of paralysis of the foot. And she says, "So my husband wakes up at 4:40 in the morning, or no, he has a dream at 4:40 in the morning. You show up in the dream, he sees your outline, and he says electricity came out of you and went into his body, went down his legs, and healed his legs. And when he woke up, his drop foot was healed." Apparently, I traveled in the Spirit to two different places on the same night, and two people got healed. And that night I had a dream where I was watching somebody get interviewed on a spaceship out in space. That was my dream. when they contacted me, they're like, "Do you remember like coming to visit me last night?" Like, "Nope." But you can travel in the Spirit, and you can bring healing. I know people who have traveled in the Spirit in their sleep, and they have gone and preached the gospel in nations where you cannot preach the gospel unless you want to end up in prison. I know people who have traveled in the Spirit, and they have given money to impoverished villages in the Spirit during their sleep. And some people do it when they're awake. They travel in the Spirit. So traveling in the Spirit is a tool that God has given us where we can do things that are a little bit supernatural. Just a little bit. And here's the thing. I can't get on a plane and fly all over the world and pay the expense in the hotels to go and heal people. But I'm open to God supernaturally transporting me anywhere. And if you are open to it, God will use you to go and heal people. Okay? Your spirit knows a lot more about healing than your brain does. I'm just going to tell you that. Because I do crap when I'm traveling the Spirit I don't even know how to do in the natural. People tell me these testimonies. I'm like, I've never even done that. Like, but when you trip your spirit, I get these dreams where the Lord shows me all this crazy stuff in the dreams. They're like, what in the world does any of that mean? I just don't understand it. And you have to understand, a lot of prophetic revelation, a lot of spiritual revelation is not for your natural mind. It's not for your body. It's for your spirit. Dreams are spiritual communication. Holy Spirit is communicating with your spirit. And you receive these dreams, you receive the visions, you receive the visitations, revelation. You don't have to understand it all the time. Your spirit will understand it. I had a dream one night, a few years ago, where I was in a classroom learning the entire night. All I knew in this dream was I'm in a classroom and there's this high-level, crazy stuff being taught When I woke up, I couldn't remember anything except that I was in a classroom learning from the Holy Spirit. Okay? I remembered none of it, but my spirit retained it. You want to know what's really funny? I talked to a friend of mine a couple of days later. She said, yeah, so there I was traveling in the spirit. I was up in the heavens and I was hanging out with wisdom. And there is this amphitheater where the Apostle John, the Revelator, was teaching in this amphitheater in heaven. And I looked down there and I saw you. You were sitting in the and you were learning from the Apostle John in heaven. And I was like, you want to hear about the dream that I had? Sometimes you don't always know until you know. But God will give you confirmation about these experiences. So traveling in the Spirit is a tool God can use. If we're willing, we can go and travel places and get people healed or preach the gospel or give people resources or give them encouragement. Whatever it is you're gifting, you can use that and God will take you places. And he'll use you in ways you can't even believe. Right, so those are a couple of tools. Emotional healing is a tool in our tool belt that we can use to heal emotional trauma and to get rid of demons. Amen. Traveling in the spirit is another tool. Dreams are another tool. Let's talk about prophetic revelation. So I get a lot of emails from people who say, hey, I've received a lot of prayer for this issue. I'm not healed. What's the issue? What's the holdup? And I asked them, so what has the Lord told you about it? Well, I don't really think I hear God that well. I don't really get dreams. I don't get words of knowledge. Like, the Lord just doesn't talk to me. Like, that's BS. The Lord does talk to you. You just haven't learned yet how to tune in to what he's saying. The Lord talks to everybody. All right? The Lord is always talking to us. We have to learn to tune in to hear his voice. A lot of people don't understand that God's voice is not this booming, audible voice. Many times we hear God's thoughts as our own thoughts. A lot of people don't understand that a vision is not some big, dramatic, panoramic thing with chariots and fire and stuff in front of us. Most of the times when people receive a vision from God, it's just a picture in their mind, in their imagination. When I pray for people to be healed, I close my eyes. Why? Because I want to see what the Lord is revealing to me in my mind, in my imagination. Because he'll give me words of knowledge, specific things. Hey, look at that. It's a tray. Thank you, sir. So when I ask people, what's the holdup? What has God shown you? They're like, well, I don't know. God doesn't talk to me much about this stuff. Well, you know, you need to press in a little bit and ask the Lord to give you revelation. Look at that. Dang, brother. That is some good work. So, right there with the gray hair, black sweater, dress. I forget your name. I know you told me before. Hey, Alda. Seeing in the Spirit made simple. All right. So, in the red sweatshirt, red jumper, come up here. Hearing God's voice made simple. Because I saw your hand. It was almost a tie. All right. So, the Lord will give us revelation. He will speak to us, still small voice. He'll give us visions, words of knowledge, and specific instructions about how we need to proceed, whether it is a financial hassle, blockade? I just invented a new word. Financial issue, relationship issue, work issue, whatever it is, God can give you specific instruction about how to deal with that issue. I knew that I was going to get banned off of YouTube a year before it happened because the Lord told me in a dream. When I published my Q books on Amazon, the Lord told me, they're going to get banned, but just publish them anyway because I want to get the word out as long as you can. And sure enough, after 8 months, the books being on Amazon, they got banned. They got blacklisted. All right. The Lord told me that I was going to lose my Twitter account, Facebook account, YouTube account, all my social media accounts. The Lord told me a year in advance, this is coming, they're going to take down all your accounts. Here's what you need to do to prepare for it. Create a backup plan, go on other platforms, get to know people, right? I moved over to Telegram primarily because I lost my Twitter, I lost my YouTube. Like, okay, what am I going to do now? Like, how do I reach people? But the Lord gave me instruction about what to do before it happened. Why? Because I listen. I'm listening. Like, Lord, I want to know in this cancel culture. They took down 5 of our PayPal accounts. We got suspended from Patreon, from Venmo, Payoneer, all the payment platforms. They deplatformed me from everything. But the Lord told me it was coming. And he provided a place called GiveSendGo where we receive donations. It's the only payment gateway we haven't been shut out of. We all have financial issues. We all have business issues. We all have relationship problems. If you ask the Lord to give you revelation, he will show you what's coming and what to do about it. Okay? He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. And he wants us to succeed. If we are on track with his divine destiny, do you know what your divine destiny is? If you don't, you should ask. If you do not know at this point in your life what your divine calling is, what your destiny is, you should be asking the Lord, show me what my destiny is, show me the calling, show me my gifting, connect me to the right people who can help me walk this thing out. Because being connected to the right people is a huge issue. If you're connected with the wrong people, you're not going to be successful. When you connect with the right people who God has appointed and anointed to work with you, you will be successful. And if what you're doing right now isn't working, maybe it's time to try something else. Look. Keys to hearing God's voice. This gentleman right here. Come here. You already got one. Didn't you? Get over here. I have 2 of them. All right. I would come over there, but I'm on a platform. I might break my neck falling off here. And he would be angry because I'd go out of the focus for about 10 minutes. I'm going to need it. So, revelation from God is incredibly important in everything we do, not just in healing, not just in deliverance, but in daily life, in setting up your business, in getting your plan out there and working. You need to know, what does God want you to do? With whom, where, how to do it, how to set it up. God will make you successful. Just ask him. And if he gives you visions, if he gives you thoughts that just pop into your mind out of nowhere. So how do you know if you're hearing God's voice? How do I know if what I'm hearing is from the Lord or from me? That's the question a lot of people ask. In order to understand the Lord's thoughts, you have to understand your own thoughts pretty well. All right. How do you know when you're talking to a relative whether your relative is talking or whether you are talking? Well, they kind of use a different Their voice is different. They think differently. They use different phrasing, different sentences. They talk about different subjects. They're just different. Well, God's the same way. He's different. The Bible says that the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts above ours. God's thoughts are unique, distinct, and different from our thoughts. They sound exactly like our thoughts, but they have a different quality. Different subject matter, different kind of wisdom. when you are in a difficult spot, when you're in a, you got a crunch, something's going on, and you're not sure what to do, and suddenly, boom, out of nowhere, you get this revelation, this understanding about how to solve the problem, how to fix that carburetor. Oh, wait a minute. If I use this tool, then I can do that, and then this, and oh man, I'm so brilliant. I just fixed the problem. Well, yeah, you're brilliant, but that was actually God giving you the insight on how to fix it. Yeah, a lot of people who are brilliant, who come up with brainy ideas, they don't even realize that was God giving you that. He was giving you a cheat sheet, and you didn't even realize it. When it comes to healing and deliverance and supernatural ministry, hearing God's voice is critical. And the question is, how do I know if I'm hearing me or I'm hearing God's voice? All right. So if here's the analogy that I use. Imagine two ships on the sea sending messages to each other over radio, let's say, for example. When a radio communicator on a ship composes a message, and they send that message to the other ship, it goes out, the other ship receives that signal, and if it's coded, they decode it, and they understand the message. Okay, that's communication. Between two intelligent life forms. So then, the receiving ship sends out another message. Goes back to the first ship. They have to compose the message, send it. It has to be received by the first ship, and they understand the message. All right. How do those two ships know whose message they're sending or receiving? How do I know that that's my message or if that's another ship's message? Well, you know it's your message because you're the one that composed it. If you can, and as the one who is sending the message, listen to what I'm saying here. This may sound really, really obvious, but it's not. The person who is sending the message can control the message. But if you're receiving a message from someone else, you can't control the message. If I'm thinking about a pizza in my mind, I can put pepperonis on it. Hey, you know, I'd like to have some pineapple on it too. Hey, let's put on some mushrooms. In my mind, I see this pizza, it's getting more and more toppings. I can change the vision in my mind, exercising my will. If God gives me a picture of a pizza in my mind, I can't change the toppings because I'm not the one who sent the message. If you can exercise your will and change the vision, change the dream, change the revelation you're receiving, if you can change it, it's not from an outside source. It's you. If you can't change the message, it's from someone other than you. Might be a demon, might be an angel, might be Jesus, we don't know. But if you can change, if you cannot change the vision that God has given you, just try to exercise your will and say, I'm going to put mushrooms on that pizza, and it doesn't have mushrooms on it, and you go, I'm going to put mushrooms on that pizza, and it doesn't have mushrooms on it. If you cannot make mushrooms appear on that pizza image in your mind, it's not from you. That's how you know if a message is from the Holy Spirit, from the Lord, from a demon, or from you. How'd you get here? I just looked down and like, he's here. I'm embarrassed. One of my longtime friends is here. This guy knows more about emotional healing than most people have forgotten. All right, so revelation from God. Is just, it's critical. And that's how you know if something is from a demon, an angel, or from the Lord. Now, how do you know if it's from which outside source it's from? Well, you know, if that vision is pornographic images, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. All right. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. If the Lord is speaking to you through visions or dreams, it's going to be edifying, encouraging, it's going to build up, it's going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. If it's a demon, it's going to be, well, demonic. All right. And you will get visions and dreams from demons. You just need to realize there's a difference. Dreams and visions from demons are just in content and character and the feeling, it's different than dreams and visions from the Holy Spirit. A lot of times in dreams and visions from evil spirits, you'll feel guilt, shame, lust, or some other ungodly emotion with the vision or dream. That's a key that tells you it's not from the Lord. The revelation from the Holy Spirit bears the fruit of the Spirit. All right. I have one more CD, Hearing God's Voice. Come here. Yep, you got it. Nobody wants them, so I have to give them away. Does anybody want a Traveling in the Spirit CD? You with the black gray hair, come, and you. Come on up here. Okay, I'll give one for you too. You give one to him. She's got yours. She's got yours. I'm not going to throw it because I don't want to break your face. All right. So what are the tools? We've got emotional healing. We've got revelation from God in words of knowledge, visions, dreams. These are all tools that God has given us that we can use to operate in supernatural ministry, whether it's healing, deliverance, or whether it's just your financial life or your business or how to deal with your kids. If you are having issues with your kids, if your kids don't want to listen to you, if they want to become trans, if they want to change your gender, if they want to, you know, do some crazy stuff, ask the Lord how to resolve the issue, how to speak to them. He will give you strategies and tactics you can use to reel them in and get them back into connected to God. And that's an issue a lot of people are dealing with. I'm dealing with it myself. I don't know a whole lot of people who don't have family issues since the woke agenda became a thing. And COVID and all the other psyops that they're pulling on us. The enemy is trying to destroy our families. And God will give you strategies to defeat the tactics of the enemy. But you have to ask him to give you the strategies, and you have to listen when he speaks. And by the way, I have found the best way to approach family members who reject you is just to love them unconditionally. People put up walls around their heart because they don't trust you. They either don't like you or don't trust you. So they put up a wall, and your words are not going to get through. They're not going to listen to you. It's going to bounce right off, and they're going to reject you. This is from Steve Harmon, cribbing his notes. Love is the thing that gets them to take down the wall around their heart. You cannot take the wall down. They have to take it down themselves. The way you get them to take that wall down is to love them unconditionally. Regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do, love them unconditionally. If you show them love, if you demonstrate love, it will eventually sink in that you're not their enemy, that you have their best interest at heart, and eventually they'll take that wall down. And when they take the wall down, then you can open a dialogue and establish a relationship or reestablish a relationship. Love is the best way to get people to pay attention to what you're saying. All right, let's talk about power and authority. So we talked a little bit about authority. In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Luke chapter 9 comes after Luke chapter 8, and Luke chapter 7, and Luke chapter 6. And if you read those passages, all through those passages, Jesus is going through the cities of Judea, and he's healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, cleansing the lepers, working miracles. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to himself, and he gave them power and authority over sickness, over demons, and to heal diseases or sickness. Jesus gives his disciples power and authority. We're his disciples. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of God living in you. You are a vessel, a very earthen vessel that contains the Spirit of God. When Jesus went out to one of the villages and got out of the boat, it says that the villagers went home, got the sick people, brought them out to the Lord, and as many as touched them, they were healed. They were healed by touching the Lord. How do we get healed by touch? It's a release of power. When Jesus was going down to hang out with Jairus because his daughter was dying, a woman came up behind Jesus in the crowd. She grabbed the hem of his garment, and she thought to herself, I know if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. She grabbed his garment, and it says, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, Who touched me? Peter says, What do you mean, Lord? Everyone's touching you. He said, No, I felt power go out from me. Who touched me? Power went out from him. He was filled, still is, I think. The power of God filled him, and when people touched him, the power shot out of his body into them and healed them. Power is energy. It is energy, and the same power that created the earth lives in you right now. Power, energy, works creative miracles. Luke 24, after he was resurrected, before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said, Stay in Jerusalem. I will send you this promise of the Father. You will be endued with power from on high. You are endued with power from on high, dude. And do that. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God in you that can release miracles. You don't actually need someone like me to pray for you. You can release the power of God can heal you. The power of God that lives in you, that resides in you, you can heal yourself. You can heal people at Walmart. You can go to the gas stations and Home Depot, and you can release the power of God and heal people. How do you do it? You do it by faith. Everything in God's kingdom is done through faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. So when I am praying for someone to be healed, how do I arrive at that place in faith where I can consistently release the power of God? I think about the things that have happened in the past, not my emotionally traumatic events, but the people that have been healed recently. I think about the miracles that I've seen happen. Sometimes I think about the miracles that Jesus did. When I think about what God has done already, it jacks up my faith. My faith goes like this. And when my faith is really good, boom, power is going to be released. How do you release power? I put my hand out like that. I have on most of my recent broadcasts just put my hand out while I'm praying for people. And sometimes I don't say anything. You don't have to, because you don't have to say anything to release the power of God. Just put your hand out. And what will happen is the power of God, if you're believing, if you have faith, miracle-working faith, the power of God will flow out of you. The energy of God will flow out of your body and go out and heal people, even over video. I don't know how that works. I really don't. And you know what? You're watching on video. I'm putting out my hand right now. I am releasing the power of God to heal you. You're listening to this live stream or the replay. God is going to heal you. I command cancer cells to be killed and die. I command all sickness and disease get out. I release the healing power of heaven for creative miracles for new bones, ligaments, nerves, tendons, and muscles. I release into you, the listener, the power of God. Now, how does that work? Yes, I will. Hit me up when I'm done. We'll pray for her. How does this work? How does power work? Power is energy. If you've ever turned on a light bulb, okay, there's a little electricities that go through the wires, and they go into the light bulb, and the switch, and the switch turns it off and turns it on, and electricities flow into the light bulb. All right, you got a 100-watt light bulb, okay? A 100-watt light bulb uses 100 watts of power or energy. Okay? I have a table saw. Table saw uses 1,500 watts of energy to run it. I have a coffee maker. My coffee maker uses about 600 watts of power to make it work. That's the kind of power I'm talking. It's energy. You can quantify power. Just think of it as energy. And here is the kicker. It takes more power to heal Lou Gehrig's disease than it does to heal a sprained ankle. I can release power on somebody who has a sprained ankle, torn rotator cuff, or a neck, or sprained neck or some soft tissue injury. I can release enough power in like 5 seconds to get that person healed. I've tried this experiment over many, many different times, a lot of years, and it's relatively easy to heal soft tissue and joint injuries just releasing power. You don't have to say anything, because when you're talking, you're exercising authority. But the release of power is simply opening yourself up, letting the power of God flow out of you into the person. Did Jesus tell the woman with the flow of blood, "Hey, I command your flow of blood to be healed in my name"? He didn't say a dang word. She touched him, and the power flowed out of his body. The same thing happens with us. So, and when I was in Australia, 2012, there was a guy standing next to me on the street. I didn't pray for him. He had an abscessed tooth, and just standing next to me, the power of God flowed into his body and healed his abscessed tooth. And I didn't pray for him. I didn't even know he was sick. He was healed, and he gave a testimony to the guy who was hosting me and said, "Hey, mate, this guy healed my abscessed tooth." How did it happen? The power of God just flowed. He had a need, and I'm a reservoir of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God just leaked out of me and got him healed because he was standing next to me. That same thing can happen to you. When it says in Acts chapter 5 that they brought the sick out so that the shadow of Peter would fall across them and they'd be healed, it's not the shadow of Peter. It's the fact that the apostles were filled with the Spirit and the power of God flowed out of them into the sick and healed them. All right? Electricity flows. Usually takes a path of least resistance. All right? And as long as we're talking about Ohm's law, resistance, in the same way that electricity, you can get more power, more amps to flow through an electrical line that is bigger in diameter because it has less resistance, a larger diameter wire is going to deliver more power because it has less resistance. Small diameter wire, a lot of resistance. That's your faith. If you have great faith, the power can flow through you without resistance. If you have doubt, unbelief, fear, skepticism, and worry, those are all things that resist the power of God. When Jesus healed the demon-possessed boy, Matthew 17, the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, why couldn't we cast it out?" And he said, "Because of your unbelief." They could not exercise authority because they were filled with doubt, fear, skepticism, worry. Those are the things that restrict the flow of power, and they limit your ability to exercise authority. If you get rid of the fear and the doubt and the worry and the concern and simply believe and trust that when you lay your hands on that person, they're going to be healed. They will be healed. That is how it works. So let me talk quickly about authority, and then we'll talk about faith. Power is another tool. So the power of God works creative miracles. First, we're going to finish up on power. Then we'll go to authority. Then we'll talk about faith. Power works creative miracles. If you have someone who needs healing, and they have a missing optic nerve, or they have a destroyed meniscus in their knee, like half of this audience has, probably. If you're over about 50 years old, you've probably got some meniscus problems in your knees, which is why your knees sound like potato chips crunching when you go up the stairs. All right. Cartilage breaks down over time. You know, we have these pads between our upper and lower leg bones. The little pad is called the meniscus. It's cartilage. And over a period of time, that just gets smashed and hammered and destroyed and disintegrated. All right, torn rotator cuff, same thing. The cartilage wears down. What you need is new cartilage. How do you create new tissue? You release power. Because power works creative miracles. God released power, and the earth was created. He released power, and he created the animals. Power works creative miracles. If you have somebody who's missing an eye, you release power, and the power creates a new eye. It's a creative miracle. That is what power does. So if someone has deteriorated bones, cartilage, tendons are shredded, they've got just deterioration and damage, structural damage to parts of their body, you release power to create new tissue. If someone has macular degeneration, all right, what is the macula? Macula is a part of the eye. It degenerates. You can create a new macula by releasing power. So when you release power, you're creating something, essentially creating something new, replacing something that's either missing or has been deteriorated and destroyed. Now let's talk about authority. Authority in Luke 9:1 says, Jesus gave the disciples power and authority over demons and to heal diseases. So power works creative miracles. Authority is generally used to cast out demons, number one. It's also used to command structures of the body to be healed and to make anything leave the body that's not supposed to be there. All right. So, Jesus would find someone who was demonized, and he would command the demon to leave, and the demons would leave. That's an exercise of authority. All right. Authority. The authority that we have from God is the right. It's a right of rulership, really. It's what it is. Authority is a right of rulership. We are, as the Bible says, kings and priests, right? What is a king? A king is a person in authority. God has given us authority over sickness, disease, and demons. We can command disease to leave. We can command demons to leave. That's an exercise of authority. How do you do it? Faith. Why couldn't the disciples cast out the demon from the boy? Unbelief. If you're trying to exercise authority and it's not working, it's probably unbelief in you, not the person you're praying for. If someone says, oh, you don't have enough faith, well, and you're trying to be healed, it's their faith that's lacking. It's not the person who, right? Sometimes faith in the person who needs healing will help, but generally it's the person who's releasing power and exercising authority that has to have faith. You can't go and blame the sick person because they didn't have faith. That's not how it works, actually. Faith releases power. Faith is how we exercise authority. So we're the ones who need to be filled with faith, not the person who's sick. If someone has a tumor, tumor's not supposed to be there. Tumor is something from the devil. Not supposed to be there. Just like a demon, you command that tumor to leave. If someone has a fungal infection, a bacterial infection, a viral infection, if they have some issue with skin, their skin has got, you know, some kind of infection on it. If the person has anything that is not supposed to be there in the body, command it to leave. I command the viral infection to go. I command the bacterial infection to go. Command tumors to leave. How? By faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll speak to this mountain, say, move, and it'll be moved for you, and nothing will be impossible. What is mustard seed faith? It's not faith that is as small as a mustard seed. When Jesus healed the centurion's servant, Matthew chapter 8, the centurion came to him and said, Lord, my servant is sick. Can you heal him? Jesus said, heck yeah, take me to where he is and let's get him healed. And the centurion said, no, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. I know how authority works. I say to this man, come, and he comes. I say to that man, go, and he goes. I understand how authority works. You're a man under authority. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. What did Jesus say? He said, I have not seen such tiny, little, small mustard seed faith even in all of Israel. That's not actually what he said. He said, I have not seen such great faith even in all of Israel. When Jesus rebuked the disciples because they couldn't cast a demon out, he said, it's because of your unbelief. It's because you have mustard seed size faith. If you had bigger faith than a mustard seed, you could do this. People don't understand what the mustard seed faith is. Go to the parable of the mustard seed. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of God is likened to a mustard seed, which, although it is the smallest of seeds, grows into a massive tree, so big that the birds of the air come to nest in it. Faith that acts like a mustard seed has to grow. And it grows by experience. When you go out there to Walmart and you start laying hands on people, and you go to the gas stations and you lay hands on people and you pray for them to be healed, release power, exercise authority, and you start seeing people healed, your faith is going to grow. Your faith has to grow. It can't stay small. It's not going to work. You're not going to see anyone healed. Your faith must grow, and it grows by exercise. Divine healing made simple, anybody? You, right there in the pink and white. Hand up like a lightning. Pew! That was fast. You beat everybody. Yeah. All right. So, Let me explain. What time is it? There is not time. Let me sum up. 11? All right. Let me talk a little bit about faith. When I first started praying for people to be healed, I was full of doubt, skepticism, and unbelief because I didn't believe in healing and miracles because that's what I was taught by my cemetery-trained pastors. But God started to work inside my little brain, and he said, no, 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 you don't get it. So I'm going to give you a dream. And so I'd have a dream. I'm in the ambulance. I'm praying for one of my patients to be healed, and boom, they get miraculously healed. And I was like, Lord, why don't you make that happen in reality, not just a dream. I'd go to work. I'd pray for 6 or 7 or 12 or 15 patients, doctors, nurses in nursing homes, go to the grocery store praying for people. Nobody's getting healed. Because I was still full of skepticism, doubt, and unbelief, and I was still begging God for healing. So I had to get my mind wrapped around this issue of power and authority. Jesus gives us power and gives us authority, and we have to exercise it. I finally started seeing a few people healed. And I'd go to this gas station up northeast Tacoma, up on the hill, and there was this gal there who had a wrist immobilizer because she had carpal tunnel. And I walked up to her and I said, hey, what's wrong with your wrist? And she said, I got carpal tunnel. And I said, can I pray for you to be healed? And she looked at me like I had three heads. She was like, okay, whatever, I don't care, you can pray for me. So I prayed for her. I just put my hand near her wrist. I released power. And I said, I command these carpal tunnels to be open. I command the tendons to be healed. And I said, do you feel anything? She's like, what did you just do? Like, feels great. I said, take your immobilizer off. She took it off, and she was healed. I went to Walmart a couple of days later, saw another person with a wrist immobilizer on, and I said, hey, can I pray for you? She said, sure, whatever, go ahead. So I just put my hand near her wrist, released power. I command carpal tunnels to be open, command tendons, nerves, ligaments to be healed. I said, what do you feel? She said, wow, it feels hot in there, like this. Really hot. Move it around. She's like, take off the mobilizer. She's like, what did you do? Like, you healed my freaking arm. Like, how did you do that? I went to another place. I saw another person with a wrist immobilizer on, and I was like, oh, you're getting healed. If you let me pray, you are so gonna get healed. And they let me pray for them, and they got healed. Because now Dave had faith for carpal tunnel syndrome. I still wasn't seeing anybody healed of cancer. I still wasn't seeing anybody healed of stroke. I wasn't seeing hip injuries healed or anything else, but I had the carpal tunnel anointing like nobody else. Well, what happened was my faith was growing for that condition. And I went out to the grocery stores and I'd see people at Home Depot and they got the sling and the shoulder sling on and, you know, they got the neck brace or something. And I started going up to those people and saying, hey, what's wrong with you? And they'd say, oh, I got a, you know, frozen shoulder. I'm like, well, why don't you let me pray for you? I'm like, we're here at Safeway. Like, really? You're going to pray for me? I'm like, yeah, it'll take a minute. So I would put my hand on their shoulder, release power, command the cartilage, ligaments, nerves, tendons, muscle, bone healed. I said, what do you feel? I'm like, wow, it's really hot. I'm like, holy moly, it's really, I'm like, hang on, let me do it again. So I'd do it again, pray again, release power, command the structures in the shoulder to be healed. Okay, what do you feel now? They're like, hang on a second, let me take this thing off. They take it off. What in the world? You freaking healed my shoulder. How did you do that? Like, well, you just got healed by a Jewish carpenter who died 2,000 years ago. Then I saw another person with a shoulder injury, and I was like, this is going to be fun. can I pray for your shoulder? Like, okay, whatever, weirdo. I go up, lay my hand on them, release power to create new cartilage, command ligaments, nerves, tendons, cartilage, muscle, bone, everything. I just shotgun, because I don't, like, can you show me your medical chart and can I look at what's going on inside there so I can command all the right things to be healed? No, I just shotgun. I'm like, ligaments, nerves, tendons, muscle, bone, cartilage. Those are the main things people have that need to be healed. So I just command her to be healed. And that person's like, I'm like, okay, check it out. They're like, oh, wow, I can move it a little bit better. I'm like, hang on, let me try it again. Let me try again. So I'd release more power. I command the structures to be healed again. I say, okay, check it out. See what happens. They're like, oh, okay, well, I still don't have full range of motion, but it's better. I'm like, okay, let me try it again. Try it again. I'd release more power. Exercise authority again. Say, okay, check it out again. And they're like, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. That frozen shoulder is totally... Dan Meyer was at our house, and you prayed for him, and he had a frozen shoulder, and he got healed. And it was your first miracle that you worked. Sherry is a testimony. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. She was like, what? Yeah, I can't believe this. Like, he seriously had a frozen shoulder. So what happened was I now had the frozen shoulder anointing under my belt. Still hadn't seen anybody heal the cancer. Still hadn't seen anybody heal the Lou Gehrig's disease. Still hadn't seen, you know, miracles with eyes. But what was happening was my faith was growing. First, my faith grew for carpal tunnel. Then it grew for frozen shoulders. Then I started praying for people with back injuries, and I saw a lot more people heal the back injuries. I'm like, oh, man, I got the back injury anointing. This is so good, man. Like, you got a back injury? Come on, I'm going to get you healed. Okay, I'm jesting, obviously. Because, but there are people actually who do think, you know, I have the dental miracle anointing. I used to think there was such a thing as a dental miracle anointing. Because I knew this gal on Facebook who prayed for people, and she saw dental miracles all the freaking time. And I was so jealous. Like, why don't I get the dental? I want to see people have gold teeth and new, you know. Oh, you had a root canal. Now your teeth are fine. So I have actually seen a lot of dental miracles in the last 2 years. Get testimonies all the time of people getting new teeth, infection gone, dry sockets gone. God's healing them. And then I started praying for my friend Scott Bazell, who had Lou Gehrig's disease. God dropped this guy in my ambulance. He was on a ventilator. He'd been on tube feedings for 5 years. He had a respiratory infection. I transported him on a ventilator, took him to a nursing home. And over the next year and a half, I transported Scott probably, gosh, a dozen times for infections and different issues. And I just fell in love with the guy, even though he's completely paralyzed. He could only blink his eyes. That's the only body movement that he had. He could just blink his eyes. Been completely paralyzed. And fell in love with his wife, Georgianne. And when I would transport him, I would hang out. I'd get my report done in the ambulance, and then I would hang out with him for 10 or 15 minutes at the end of the transport and pray over him. And I would release power into his body. I'd just put my hands on his body, and I would just release power, and I command muscles, nerves, ligaments, everything healed, strength into his body. And I did it over and over and over and over and over again. Christmas, this is probably 2010. It was a year that I moved before I moved down here. Went to his place in the nursing home he was staying at, and Christmas, it was icy, snowy. My wife was like, I don't think you should drive. I'm like, I'm going to go pray for Scott. You pray for me. So I went and prayed for Scott, and I spent about a half hour releasing power into his body, commanding his nervous system to be healed. The next time I saw him was about 2 or 3 months later. Went to the nursing home to see another patient who was at the same nursing home, And I thought, I'm going to go and sneak into Scott's room and see, you know, maybe I can pray for him. His wife met me at the door and says, Dave, you're not going to believe what happened. Scott was able to drink coffee and eat pizza this morning at breakfast. I've been praying for him for a year and a half, continually releasing power and exercising authority and just hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering away at it. I did not give up. I did not quit. I didn't see any results until one day I walked in and George Ann was like, he's getting better. His throat is healed. He can swallow now. He can eat and drink. So this is the thing. Some conditions, like Lou Gehrig's disease, like MS, they can take this, some of these diseases require a lot of power to heal them. A 1,500-watt table saw requires more power than a 100-watt light bulb. And our bodies were only able to release a certain amount of power at a time. That's why you have to pray for people. You know, sometimes a frozen shoulder, 4, 5, 6 times. Keep going. Don't stop. Just keep going. If you're making any progress at all, keep going, keep going, keep going. Just keep hammering away at it, and you'll get that person healed. With these neurodegenerative diseases like multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, they're a little bit tougher. And here's the thing. If you have a friend or family member who has one of these diseases, pray for them. Pray for them all the time. But also go out to Walmart. Go out to the grocery store. Go to the gas station and pray for people who need carpal tunnel healed because it's a lot easier. It's just a lot easier. If you see somebody with a boot on their foot, they've got some, you know, messed up ankle, tendons, cartilage, whatever, ask them if you can pray for them. You're probably going to get them healed immediately. And when you get those joint injuries healed, your faith will start to grow. And you start to pray for someone who has back issues, and you get them healed, and your faith is going to grow more. You're going to pray for somebody with cancer, and they're going to get healed, and you're going to be like, wow, I totally got this. Man, I'm smoking. Faith has to grow, and it grows when you step out and pray for people to be healed and see the miraculous. When you see people healed, it's going to change your faith. It's going to blow up your life, and you're going to love praying for people. You when you see people healed, you're not going to approach it with fear and concern and worry, oh, what if they're not healed? I used to think that. I'd go in the ambulance, I'd pray for people, I'm like, I know this person isn't getting healed because the last 400 people I prayed with, they didn't get healed. It's a battle of the mind. And when you start to see a few people healed, your faith is going to grow. And you will start seeing more and more and more people healed. It's a battle. You have to be trained. Your faith has to grow. And you do it by exercising authority and power for healing. All right, I'm going to end on that.